In the midst of today's political turmoil, New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters has been in Canberra to hold talks with his Australian counterpart, Julie Bishop. Winston Peters, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
Considering the issues the Australian government is having, did you feel like the issues you came here to discuss got the attention they deserved?
Yes, I did. And I thank the Australian Foreign Minister for, in a very, very difficult, transient and potentially calamitous time, spending the time with us on issues which were important, and the substance of those issues we thoroughly covered.
You held a press conference with Julie Bishop earlier, and we were very clear that you couldn't comment on the leadership issues because, as you said, visiting politicians shouldn't poke their nose into another country's politics. But what about New Zealand? How does it affect your country when there is instability in Australia?
Well, look, instability in any settings, no matter whether it's a Pacific Island country or indeed New Zealand, and we have had our periods of instability, it doesn't help the population locally nor internationally with respect to those people who are operating in partnership with you. So it's not a personal criticism, but it is a fact that we're all watching the Pacific, and New Zealand is watching the unfolding of events in Australia in the last 48 hours. And of course, we hope that what we see at the end of it is an enduring, stable outcome. That's what we really are hoping for.
So what's your message to Australian politicians?
I don't want to get involved with answering that question. If I was in a different environment, I'd be only too pleased to.
That's but okay. We're not in Parliament. It's a private space here.
Well, no, it's a private space, but I presume you've got some listeners who report back to the political parties that they are loyal to. I suppose I would reinforce this. This debate, or this hurly-burly row and ruction, is not just about you. It's about a whole country called Australia. It's about its economic and social security, and indeed that of its neighbourhood. So we're all interested. And when you're looking to how you might behave, bear that in mind.
All right. Peter Dutton has what some would describe as a complicated relationship with New Zealand. He's been critical of New Zealand's offer to take asylum seekers from Australia's offshore processing centres and suggested it has not pulled its weight in stopping people smugglers. How would the relationship between New Zealand and Australia change if Peter Dutton was to become Prime Minister?
Well, to put the chronology in sequence, I mean, it was a former National Party Prime Minister in 2013 who made that statement. The present government only repeated it. So if you were going to complain about the present government's repetitive statement, you should have perhaps made the complaint the first time it was said by another party and another government.
Okay, but either way, Peter Dutton has made the statement about your government as well, not just the previous government.
Well, you know, when you say something like a country not pulling its weight, I have to reflect to those sorts of comments the real history of our engagement internationally and our responsibilities from the First World War, the Second World War, and everything else we've ever done. And in terms of the loss of life that we sustained, it was massive. So I don't think when one makes that comment, you are being terribly wise about understanding the long history of this country's relationship with Australia in particular. And bear in mind, it's a geographic fact that the people smugglers are coming out of north of Australia, not New Zealand. So an axiomatic fact that where you are placed on the atlas, so to speak, speaks for itself. And we're not ungrateful to Australia at all, but we need to get things in perspective.
High on the agenda today was the deportation of New Zealand passport holders. 1,300 New Zealand citizens have been deported from Australia since 2015 because they've served a sentence of 12 months or more, or if they have a link to a known criminal group. What has that meant for New Zealand?
Well, it's meant that we've had people coming on to our shores without notice from Australia, really. It's starting to improve now, who have got a criminal background. A criminal background, I might add, that has been one nurtured in Australia, because some of these people have moved to Australia as young as 3 years of age. And so the conditional environment in which their criminality may have been shaped is surely not our responsibility, but that of Australia. But put that aside, the fact is every country is entitled to make its sovereign rules, and we respect Australia for that as well. All we ask for is the same right of access to law that we give any Australian in New Zealand, criminal or not.
After today's meeting, are you closer to getting those laws relaxed?
Well, you know, I do think dialogue makes sense, particularly when you come to an argument with some persuasive and cogent principles behind your argument. And I've got a faith in the Australians. I know the Australian people. When they use the expression, which I use in my speech, about wanting a fair suck of the sab, they know what that looks like. So all I'm doing is talking to the Australian people and saying, come on, we can do better and we can have a better relationship. And what's critical about that is, in this world that we're living in, with all its uncertainties and growing concerns and anxieties, we need each other like we never have since 1945.
In just a couple of weeks, the Pacific Islands Forum will take place in Nauru, and you've backed a suggestion that Pacific Island nations attending write to China and ask for their debts to be forgiven. Why would China accept that request?
That was a statement, of course, made by the Prime Minister of Tonga. When you get levels of indebtedness beyond 40%, and anywhere near above 30% is a concern, in island nations where they haven't got the capacity to pay it back, then you've got a crisis on your hands in that local economy. So that's the point I'm making, and that the Prime Minister of Tonga was making. And in terms of the logic and common sense of what he's saying, you have to ask yourself this question. Would any lender lend money at a level when they knew on the fiscal forecast that it will never be paid back?
Do you share Australia's concerns about Chinese influence in the Pacific? Is that something that was discussed in your meeting with Julie Bishop?
Look, we share Australia's concerns about a number of things because we're both sovereign nations and we regard our foreign policies as being the epitome of the best that we can construct from a highly law-abiding and highly educated and academic society. That said, there are a number of anxieties we have with respect to certain countries in the Pacific, and there's not just one, and our job is to go about ensuring that where we can mitigate them or change these sorts of behaviours, we should do our utmost to do so.
Staying on China and the Belt and Road Initiative, basically a plan to connect China to its neighbouring countries and beyond, New Zealand was one of the first Western countries to sign a memorandum of arrangement to strengthen cooperation on BRI. That was the last government, and you have said you question that move. Where's that up to now?
Well, I think it was 2015 this first came to in New Zealand. And the government, the previous government, and its wanton internationalist approach, signed up a memorandum of understanding. And when it was asked, well, what does this mean? What is it, with clarity and detail, what specifically are you talking about? They didn't know. Now, that's not wise policy. And so all I've done as a foreign minister for New Zealand when I was in Beijing was to ask the Chinese government to lay out with great clarity what they meant by the Belt and Roads policy. Because if you think about it very carefully, all countries have got belts and roads. We've all got international seaways and airways that are coming to us with all sorts of arrangements. So what do we mean by this? I'm waiting for the answer, and the Chinese have promised to get back to us.
Are you still then considering withdrawing based on that answer?
Well, we haven't got anything to withdraw from. What you've got here is a typical, dare I say it, combine of a certain uninformed bureaucracy and a previous government's neoliberal attitudes, which was anything to do with business is great, except they never trawl down to understand whose business, what business, and who would end up owning and getting the value and the benefit of it. Now, I think Australia understands that more acutely than my country did until the last election.
Many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Winston Peters is New Zealand's foreign minister, visiting Australia, and he's held talks with Julie Bishop, our foreign minister. This is RN Drive.